Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour for October 17th, 2019, and just a few short weeks away from the end of the year. I want to quick talk about the PG&E shutdown, forcing people out of their homes, millions of people without electricity. This is a farce. They they said they had to get people out there, their workers out there, to check all the lines before they knew it was safe to turn the electricity back on. What a ridiculous story. Everybody knows in California there's the fire season that's coming at a certain time of year right now, after summer rains and when it starts to dry out. So don't you think they could have planned ahead a little bit and sent their workers out to check the lines? And also, it was not PG&E that caused the fires in the first place in the previous fires. These were set by arsons, government-controlled or whoever did this, but these were professionally set fires to drive people out of their houses. And I discovered a little fact here, and I want to throw it out here. I've talked to some people on different radio shows, and they didn't want to air this. But being a nuclear physicist, that's my profession, by education at least, and something that I've worked in, of course, my lifetime, I've worked around this particular field. But California is full of uranium. And now let me just give you other locations, three other locations where they've literally burned the people off their land to get at uranium. Saskatchewan, Alberta, Canada, those two places where about a year and a half ago, they literally burned tens of thousands of people off their land and forced them out, never to return, so that they could mine uranium. This is part of the Uranium One deal with Hillary Clinton. And also in Oregon, remember the standoff at in Oregon where the boys from Nevada went up there and tried to help out, and it ended up with the death of Lavoie Finicum. But a lot of black automobiles up there, unmarked, United Nations. And that's who ambushed Lavoie Finicum and shot him dead, unarmed man in the middle of the winter, in the middle of the woods, trying to drive to the next county to get safe haven. But this was about uranium. This is what it's all about, and California is starting to get the business. PG&E is owned by the Rothschilds, so there's nothing more corrupt than the nuclear energy industry and the burning of people off their land to try and basically recover this land so that they can mine. Now, I ran across... I have it, it was a 1978 U.S. Geological Survey study that targeted California and the uranium deposits and thorium deposits in California. And the way you, there's a number of ways that you hunt for uranium, but one of the best ways is you look for radon. Radon is a gas that's a byproduct of natural nuclear decay of uranium. And when you see it in abundance coming up out of the ground, that tells you one very clear thing, that down below there, there's a vein or a deposit of uranium. And so anyway, California is full of it. That's you heard it first here, and I don't think you'll probably hear this anyplace else, but it looks like they're just prepping these people to move them into the cities by shutting off their electricity. And this is something I've always said, that when they really want to take some place down, they will shut down the electricity. Because in this modern age, nothing moves without electricity. And then they come in and they say, okay, everybody has to move out. This is for your own safety. That's the line that they give you. Up on a positive note here, Boeing, well, I don't know if this is so positive, but Boeing made a purchase of stock in the Virgin Galactic company that's primarily owned by Richard Branson. And so he started that. Remember, he won the very first X Prize, known as the Ansari X Prize, $10 million, with Burt Rutan, building and designing and building the Space One spacecraft. Now they are in the process of developing. They have basically a spaceport in New Mexico where they're going to start commercial launches very soon. The company Virgin Galactic is evaluated at $1.5 billion. And Boeing purchased in, now just another thing, they are going public here shortly in a public offering. And Boeing, through a purchasing firm, is purchasing a chunk of the stock. They say 3,000 customers in line waiting to go into space. Now, this looks like the best offering, where they don't go into orbit. They simply go into outer space to low Earth orbit and then glide back down and land. Richard Branson said he wants to be one of the first people to be on the craft, which is, I think they have six people, if I'm not mistaken. It might be more, but they basically the same design as before. They take the vehicle up to about 50,000 feet, drop it off, in which the orbital vehicle then uses a single rocket engine to bring it up into the to outer space, basically beyond the limit of the atmosphere of Earth, and then it glides back down. And what's interesting here is they don't have all of the heavy heat shielding, etc., that NASA had on the space shuttle. The reason the space shuttle creates so much heat is because it's a massive, massive, they call it the flying brick. And you have to slow that down. If you're slowing it down using the atmosphere, it creates a lot of heat. That energy has to go someplace, and it slows down because of the friction of the air. So if your spacecraft is light, then there's not as much heat buildup. So NASA has had so many flaws in their design over the years, it's just mind-boggling. Okay, on to the next topic. I've quite a few energy topics tonight. The wind industry is lobbying for more subsidies, something they should not get, as they tout how profitable they are, etc. The American Wind Energy Association, the Canadian Wind Energy Association, out there pounding their chests about how good they're doing. But once again, the GE, Siemens, and Vesta, the big three wind companies in the world, Siemens from Germany, GE from the United States, are forcing out, by just lowering prices, saying that competition is tough, forcing out the other competition, and then what will happen is they'll come back in. They're already doing it, asking for subsidies. And of course, you cannot get the subsidies unless you're certified in the American Wind Energy Association. That's how you qualify for the subsidies. By the way, the wing generator, the JMCC wing generator, does not need, nor will it ask for, subsidies. It's going to be a product that's sold on the open market because it works. And there's also a lot of hype going out there that wind is the cheapest form of energy. The only reason it's the so-called cheapest form of energy is because you, the unwitting taxpayer, is paying for this through subsidies. Last week I talked about the Nobel Prize in Physics, a complete sham. And then this week I want to mention the Nobel Prize in Chemistry. Actually, you might call it physical chemistry. I totally agree with this prize, where there's three recipients in chemistry, and this is for the development, crucial in development, by individuals of lithium-ion battery technology. And if you read these were the three steps and discoveries that made your lithium-ion battery that's in your phone, that's in your computer these days, everything. I mean, in your automobile, lithium-ion batteries, even though they have their problems, they catch fire, and they're basically like a solid-state device. They have many little cells where the energy is stored, and then they feed those into the ultimately into the terminals. The remember that the very first automobiles, the Tesla automobiles, the first generation, were made up of hundreds of, at that time, VCR, these video camera batteries. They just used an off-the-shelf battery that at that time they were made in China. And since, they've made great strides. And, of course, right now Tesla has its own battery factory where they can be competitive. In fact, there's nobody in the world that can build an electric car as cheap as Tesla and sell it as for as good a price as Tesla because of the advancements they have in manufacturing lithium-ion batteries. But all of this made possible by three men who made different contributions in the line of making lithium-ion batteries marketable, manufacturable. And a number of years ago, there was a Nobel Prize given for the guy who basically invented the method for the very inexpensive light bulbs that we now all enjoy, the LEDs. And, of course, those have come a long way. There's been many advancements. But back in the old days, the incandescent days that were around since Edison, at the turn of the 1900s, back into the 1800s, the original Edison light bulb, they took a filament of tungsten, which has a fairly high melting point, put it in a vacuum inside a little glass bulb, learned how to mass produce them, and that was the first form of light bulb. But there was a little problem, and through the decades and centuries, literally, since the incandescent light bulb hit the street, there was a tremendous amount of heat loss. And if you ever remember trying to change a light bulb that just burned out, you'd go up and touch it, very hot. You couldn't even touch it. It was just extremely hot. And that was one of the issues. That's one of the reasons they burnt out. And also, if there was a little failure in that vacuum seal, then the air would get in there and cause the filament to burn out prematurely. So those were some of the failure points of the incandescent light bulb. So this guy, once again a Nobel Prize winner, not this year, but previous years, for developing the technique of taking a light-emitting diode, which produced light, and then also putting a coating of phosphorus on it. And what that did, it absorbed the heat and changed it into light. It made it much brighter. And so at any rate, cured the problem of heat dissipation or heat generation in the incandescent light bulb. So now we all enjoy very inexpensive lighting. In fact, in the incandescent light bulb days, 33% of the energy produced in the United States in the form of electricity, 33% was for lighting. Now it's way down. Now there's a different distribution of energy usage for the different types of appliances, but lighting went away. And so these are the kind of prizes that I really think are valuable. These are real Nobel Prizes, as opposed to the one I talked about last week, the Nobel Prize for Physics 2019, given to a guy talking about missing mass. They can never have found the missing mass. This guy published his paper in 1975, and they've never been able to find the missing mass. They can't define it. They don't know what it is. Now they're talking about dark matter. And NASA was all gushy over this Nobel Prize because they're wasting a lot of your money running around this cosmic goose chase for something that simply does not exist, and now they can give a Nobel Prize for it. Let me tell you what future Nobel Prizes could exist. A lot of the work that I've done, the induced electric dipole redshift, which would disprove the cosmological concept of the Big Bang, and also general relativity, would be disproven if they, and it's a simple laboratory experiment, which I've done in front of students, and very simple to do. That would be an extremely important Nobel Prize. Remember they gave Nobel Prize for the microwave background radiation a number of years for the COBE satellite. It was a team, which should never have been given. But the microwave background radiation has nothing to do with the Big Bang. It's simply a cloud of dust and gas that surrounds our solar system. We can see these around other neighboring stars, and we can see the microwave signature around these other stars. So, I mean, the handwriting is on the wall. As soon as they get a satellite out beyond that nebular ion cloud, which is about three times the distance from the sun to Pluto, and they look out, there's not going to be any microwave background radiation. But, of course, they're not going to do that because if you're not looking for some, the old expression, if you don't look for it, you're not going to find it. But let me, I could go on and on about some of the developments. The plasma discharge comet model would be an amazing advancement to have that recognized. And I could go list many other discoveries that I've made. But in terms of batteries, right now, lithium-ion batteries and all the other kind of batteries that we know of have a problem. Well, they have a whole list of problems, but the biggest problem is it's the same one we had with light. It takes a tremendous amount of energy in heat loss to charge a battery, especially the faster you charge a battery, the higher the current, and therefore the bigger the heat loss. So that's an issue. And then when the energy is expended in the battery, when you produce the energy that then is converted into electricity in the battery, that creates heat. So you have a double whammy, kind of a double 1-2 punch loss of energy. Heat loss when it's charging, heat loss when it's discharging. So the guy that comes along and solves that problem, which would then make batteries lighter and would usher in the true age of aviation, and then, of course, bringing down the weight of batteries, lithium ion. Lithium is a fairly heavy element, so lithium ion batteries are still pretty massive, pretty heavy. The liquid acid batteries that we use today have lead in them as one of the poles in the solution. And of course, they're limited on the discharge that they can produce. The rate of discharge is limited because of the chemical exchange, etc. Although, don't drop a wrench across the terminals of a battery. Even a small battery will create a pretty big spark. So be careful of that. But the future Nobel Prizes will be given, I would predict, for battery technology and bringing down the weight, bringing down the heat loss in charging and discharging. And then there's a number of other types of technological advances in the world of batteries that could bring us some future Nobel Prizes, either in chemistry or in physics. As I always say, when it comes to batteries, electrons don't weigh much. So there's no reason to have lead or lithium or heavy elements involved in a battery. Batteries can be made, and I'm expecting carbon or some variation of graphene or carbon layering, carbon fiber, or something like that. Something's going to happen in the world of carbon to bring the weight of batteries down and possibly also solve this issue of heating. because the whole issue, if you have current, you're driving current into a battery to charge it, then there's resistance. And of course, the current simply moving through a resistance causes heat, heat dissipation, once again, charging and discharging. So a little bit of in the future there, what could be happening. And the ultimate battery is a battery with no material at all. In other words, well, I'm going to stop discussing that at all at this point. But the future of Nobel Prizes will include battery technology. This is a funny story. This appeared on a number of web pages, and I had some people make comments also. And once again, back to California, the PG&E debacle of going bankrupt, and then also the power outage with over a million people, and I forget, actually, it was many more people than a million people that suffered the outage. And this was not due to a failure. It was just they shut the power down. They just pulled the plug on all these people with no plan for when it would come back. Gas immediately went up to over $5 a gallon, and they told people with electric cars, charge up your cars because there's not going to be any electricity here. But the stories that came out were that the people, especially in California, people had purchased solar panels. And lo and behold, when the blackout came, all these people thought, well, my solar panels, I'll just have electricity because I got solar panels. Well, the American public, I hate to say it, are fooled because they're scientifically illiterate. So, you know, they don't realize that you would need a completely different setup with your solar panels to power your house. And, of course, there are commercial offerings out there, the Tesla power pack, et cetera, that you take solar panels on a roof, charge up a Tesla power station, and then it has its own inverter where you could actually run your house during a power outage. But the vast majority of people who were suckered into buying solar panels in California had no idea that when the power went out, they would not have any power. And I'm sure most of these people also are unaware that when there are peak solar times, when their panels should be producing electricity and getting them credits towards their electric bill, the power company actually shuts them off remotely, and they're not getting a dime of payback during the peak sun hours in California. Anyway, a little bit of fun facts there. What a corrupt industry. The alternative energy industry is simply corrupt from one side to the other. And that's, by the way, what makes it difficult for me, because coming in with the JMCC wing generator, something that actually works, that doesn't need subsidies. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day and about back in the old vaudeville days. It's like I'm coming in, and back in the old vaudeville days, the guy would get up on stage, and if he was a bad act, the people would throw tomatoes and lettuce at him. And now the next guy that came out, even if he had a good act, here's these people, they're already having a good time throwing lettuce and tomatoes at the stage. And here's some poor guy has got to come out, even if he's got a good vaudeville act, they're primed to start throwing tomatoes at him. And that's what's happening with me with the wing generator, is people already have a very bad taste in their mouth. The ones that are smart enough to realize they got conned have a very bad taste in their mouth for solar or wind or alternative energy. There are just horror stories out there. And this is one of the things that absolutely blows my mind, too, is that how could the wind energy people go out there and brag about how wonderful they're doing and about their sales installation and billions of dollars they made this year, when people are losing their homes, they're becoming sick because of three-blade wind turbines. People have lost their farms. There's a story, a woman that five generations her family had owned the farm, and she had to move because these three-blade wind turbines make her sick. You know, the electromagnetic radiation from these things. You know, and I knew this when I was designing the wing generator. I kept the low RPM, and you know, so there was not a lot of electromagnetic noise, or emissions, or radio signals coming out of them. The problem with the three-blade wind turbines is they are very high RPM, high frequency. You know, very damaging to people that live near these things. Here's another story. The cost to decommission a three-blade wind turbine, people are starting to have to take these things down. The people that sold them don't, the GEs and the Siemens and the Vestas don't have to take them down. They get some intermediate company to buy these. They get a contract then with some local government. The government officials pretend like they're green for installing wind energy. A lot of the states have mandates on how much wind energy they should be installing every year to be green, to try and meet some artificial goal. But then when these things don't work, it turns out that the local governments are stuck with the bill. And so the average cost now is $500,000. Now, remember that to put one of these things up is probably $1 million to $1.5 million. But nobody ever planned on the cost to decommission one. And so here we have $500,000 to decommission these. And then there's no place to put these big 300-foot-long blades. There's not like a convenient junkyard where you can go toss these. Just absolutely incredible. And right now there's 100,000 of these in the United States. They're putting more in all the time. Just to decommission what's there right now, given $500,000 per unit, we're talking about the better part of $60 billion to get rid of stuff that never worked in the first place. And the other odd thing is that nobody reports how much electricity was generated by these things before they have met the end of their useful life and have to be decommissioned. Most of them are not working. You can drive through any field, whether it's Nebraska, Dakotas, Kansas, Iowa, Southwest Minnesota, off into, you know, around the country, that Highway 10 between Phoenix and San Diego, up there on the that hillside, just hundreds and thousands of those three-blade wind turbines sitting there not doing a thing. At any rate, another story came out on this. In fact, this is where the $500,000 per unit came from. There was an installation that actually went online in 2010 in Noble, Minnesota, and a wind farm, and it's only 2019 and are already decommissioning this whole wind farm. So it didn't even last 10 years. And most of those towers, three-blade wind towers, were probably defunct long ago. So we're probably talking about an average lifetime for these installations of about 5 years. Then they have to be decommissioned, and it's up to the local people to foot the bill for this, because nobody wrote it into the contracts that, hey, how are we going to take this mess down? And like I say, there's no reporting on how much electricity these things actually produced. When they're installed, you see the big banner headlines. These wind turbines will provide electricity for 69,000 houses. Let me tell you how they get to that number. They take the nameplate energy from the wind generators. That is the maximum wind conversion to energy that these units could produce. given a constant 30-mile or 35-mile-an-hour wind, whatever their maximum wind is. And then they would pretend like that runs 24/7, 365 days a year, which, of course, is ridiculous. And then they use the industry average of 1.3 kilowatts of usage or 1.3 kilowatt hours per hour of electrical energy per household. And then they go, oh, well, this wind installation would power 69,000 houses. Well, let me tell you something. Never in the history of any of these wind installations did they ever power what their nameplate value is. Absolutely ridiculous. Just all hype. And they continue to sell this stuff. Just junk. Slowly people are starting to find out. And then when they go to the local governments, it's all padding under the table. All padding under the table. Just another quick mention that I've said this before. Every major power company in the United States is going to be in bankruptcy court within 2 years. The latest report for Xcel Energy in Minnesota, which I've criticized for the fact I actually talk about them in my 2009 book, McCanny Wing Generator World Energy Project, $2.9 billion they are in debt to renovate two nuclear power plants. The Monticello and the Prairie Island nuclear power plants are basically beyond their commissioned lifetimes. They need $2.9 billion to renovate those plants, and they're not getting it. There's no way they can raise that amount of money. They haven't been saving any money. Absolute disaster. The Hinkley Point, switching gears here a little bit, in the United Kingdom, has reached something like $32 billion. And this is a plant that'll probably never see the light of day, never produce a dime's or a shilling, if you want, of electricity, a pence of electricity throughout its lifetime. It's estimated final cost $32 billion for something that doesn't work. Absolutely insane amount of money going into nuclear power plants. Just a quick mention, there's a new movie out. It's called Maleficent 2. And it's a Disney movie. And if you look at the hairpiece of the Queen of Evil, it is right out of the... there's a woman known as Marina Abramovich. And her thing is spirit cooking. She's one of Hillary Clinton's friends. And the headset... If you look at a picture of her and the Maleficent kids movie, I mean, it's right out of the same thing. These are people that drink blood. These are people that have blood ceremonies. I mean, they're very sick, deranged, cult people. And it just shows you how twisted the Disney movies are getting. And then the little kids are supposed to watch this. Absolutely insane. So, I hope that flops at the box office. And, of course, they have none other than Angelina Jolie playing Maleficent herself in both movies. Horrific, horrific. When you understand the symbolism that goes into these with the devil worship, blood drinking, evil spirit cooking. I mean, these people are sick, sick people. And for Disney to be producing these movies is beyond belief. But there again, they're the ones that brought us the Apollo program, the moon landings, and a lot of other... anyway, that's just a brief comment on that. Hopefully that'll die at the box office, which it actually should. I just make honorable mention here about something I'm sure you've heard about it. It's called the Green New Deal, and it's expected to cost tens of trillions of dollars. Some estimates, when you get up into those numbers, it's absolutely absurd, where they want to panel the United States with solar panels and three-blade wind turbines. And, of course, I'm sure that the General Electric and Siemens and the solar companies are just gushing over this. But the reality is the equipment that's out there today, look at this Noble Minnesota wind farm, didn't even get past 9 years when they're already decommissioning it. Like I said, it probably didn't work after 5 years. So they want you to spend trillions of dollars on equipment that has a lifetime of less than 10 years. So what are we supposed to do? Every 10 years, pay another $10 trillion so GE and Siemens can install more and more things that don't work? Absolutely insane. Insane. They don't work. They have less than a 10-year lifetime. And there are ecological disasters and recycling disasters. That's one of the biggest issues. By the way, when they're talking about this Noble Minnesota wind farm that's being decommissioned, the requirement for decommissioning is that they only remove any materials down to 4 feet depth. Below that, everything stays. So many times they have cement pillars that go 10 or 20 or 30 feet into the ground. And then they have cabling, distribution cabling that's in the ground, some of it below 4 feet underground. So they're just going to leave this absolutely amazing ecological disaster, because eventually the rubber insulation on that wire is going to leach into the groundwater. That's where it's all going to end up. So people that think this stuff is green have another thought coming. And the once again, the issue with the wing generator is it would plug into the currently existing coal and nuclear facilities and then take over, because most of those facilities are in wind-rich areas. And so it would be simply a matter of reconnecting the wing generator where there is already infrastructure. But with the three-blade wind monsters, they took them out in the middle of nowhere and then had to build the infrastructure to get the energy back to the central power company, where then it's distributed out to the users. So none of this was ever thought out. None of this was ever planned. It's just willy-nilly, you know, the Keystone Cops, Chinese fire drill form of engineering. Just make a big profit, stick the money in your pocket, and, pay the shareholders. That's what it's all about. Or pay when the shareholders are individuals like Warren Buffett or T. Boone Pickens or these other people. Making boatloads of money off subsidies. And they're, like I say, they're back there asking for more subsidies. Okay, now I'm going to switch gears a little bit. As happens a lot, a listener sent in a video. I can't be on the internet going all over the place, so have people actually, this is somebody who spends a good deal of time searching and volunteering to find information. This video, it's called California Renewable Energy Problem. And it's a very well done video. A lot of videos are gee whiz or we got to go renewables or something like that. But this person actually did some real homework, something that even the big institutions like MIT and Harvard don't do. They don't want to touch this with a 10-foot pole because they don't want to offend the money that's coming in. They get money from the government, so they got to be kind of gee whiz, rah rah, zimbumba. We got to go put more solar and wind in, three blade wind turbines and solar. In the back of their mind, all of these people must know that this is not doable, it's not possible. But this video is called California Renewable Energy Problem. You might want to go take a look at it. And so here's the issue. When the guy gets down to the bottom line, you know, where you got to put the money on a table to buy the loaf of bread, the real end number, I'll start with that, is 3.6 trillion, not billion. We're talking $1 trillion. This is to get California up to the point where they would be 100% renewable energy. So what does this include? This includes three-blade wind turbines, a vast amount of solar panels, and massive amounts of batteries. And they even admit in the video that the battery technology that exists today will not work, because the whole plan is, and here's the issue, that in the summertime, California has more sun and less wind, and in the wintertime it has more wind and less sun. But the balance is towards solar, because they've been putting in a lot of solar. But the idea is that no matter how you cut it, they have more alternative energy sources, wind and solar, in the summertime. And so what they wanted to do was somehow buy battery banks that would store this up until the wintertime. So we're not talking day-to-day here. We're not talking storing up energy for a day or two. We're talking about storing up months of energy. And so you have to have an overage of installed base to not only provide you with the energy you need today in the summertime, but enough extra so you can pack it away, kind of like a bear eating berries in the woods in the summer, so that they can sleep all winter and burn off the fat, and they come out kind of mean and angry in the springtime. You don't want to find a bear in the springtime. But what if you have a slow summer? Then you're back to the same old story, that you're always trying to get up to 100%. And during that trek, during that venture, during that journey, you are still relying 100% on the central power company. So even though you could spend up to literally up to $4 trillion, this is just the state of California, where, gee, don't they have enough problems already? They got people that don't have a place to live. They got people pooping on the streets. They got the biggest drug addict problem in history, with people using needles and leaving them laying all over the streets. I mean, California is a mess. Where are they going to get $4 trillion to go green? It's absolutely, absolutely ridiculous. So let's go up to the national level now. Okay, so if you were going to go to the national level, now what happens? And by the way, during the video, they make the very astute comment, which I could have told you. I told you all of this 10 years ago in my book, McCanny Wing Generator World Energy Project, just to tell you how well the news media can hide a topic. I mean, I went through a year and a half of my life working on something called the XPRIZE, and out of 98 companies, won the Innovation Achievement Award, Technology Innovation Achievement Award in 2018, over a field of 98 companies internationally. And still, no matter where you go on the internet, on YouTube, the mention of the JMCC wing generator just is not there. And how could that be? It's absolutely absurd. It's like when you go to a space science page, and after 30 years, nobody can mention the plasma discharge comet model. It's got to be this is amazing how the news media can squelch topics for the benefit of big companies like General Electric and Siemens pushing these absolutely useless three-blade wind turbines. But now let me break down a little bit more about this video, where he says that so far California has installed too much solar. And so now what happens? This is a very interesting point, that during the summertime, especially when California has more sun than during the wintertime, because the winter Pacific storms move into California, and it's the more of the more clouds, that's what they're saying in the movie anyway, in the video. But they're producing more energy than what they can use. So what do? They actually sell that to other states. They don't use it in California. They're not using the solar energy that they produce in California. They actually sell it to other states. And I know for a fact that in California, the central power companies are turning off the solar panels that are all over people's houses. People bought, they were sold a bill of goods that if you buy these solar panels and put them on your house, then you will reduce your electric bill. And then people put them on their house, they pay this money. And all of a sudden, you know, after 6 months, a year, they go back to the power company and they say, hey, you know, we're not seeing any savings due to our nice solar panels that are all over our roof that we bought and paid for, and you guys got government subsidies for, and et cetera, et cetera. And so what happens? The power company comes back and says, yeah, well, we never turned them on. What do you mean you never turned them on? It says, yeah, look at your contract. We don't have to turn on your solar panels. What do you mean turn on my solar panels? Aren't they on? No. No, look at your contract. They don't turn them on. It's absolutely horrendous. But getting back to the bottom line, to populate the United States with three-blade wind turbines, and they don't talk about the health issues. This is one of the things that if you start putting these things all over, how can the news media block the absolutely incredible surge of hatred? I mean hatred that has bourgeoned in, for example, Canada along the Great Lakes. If you look at Ontario, and there are organizations on the internet to stop the installation of wind turbines because Canada pays those towers $1 million a year. That pays those people. They put up a tower for about $1 million. They get tax subsidies that gives them an immediate profit. And then out of the money that the people pay for electricity, which is outrageous in Canada, and by the way, Canada sells the United States a huge amount of hydropower, installs wind turbines that they never needed, shuts them off, and then charges the people. So the people's electric bills have gone through the ceiling. They now know that the three-blade wind turbines, they can see them. They're not working. They're just sitting there. Oh, my goodness. Yet the news media can keep this from the people, can keep it out of the news. And the wind energy associations, the American Wind Energy Association and the Canadian Wind Energy Association, headed by none other, guess who's on the board of those organizations? GE, Siemens, Vestas, right up there at the top, and in there getting those government subsidies, you know, and keeping this narrative of go green, etc. Actually, very horrendous. And by the way, you know, it would be profitable for me to jump on this new Green Deal thing, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to bite that hook and say, well, gee, if these politicians saw the wing generator, they would possibly help fund my operation. No, I don't want anything to do with them because their goal is to rape the public. You have to understand that their goal is not to serve the public or bring a solution. Their goal is to rape the public and not provide a solution and destroy the United States. That's what socialism is. That's why you have free income for all, free health care for all, free university for all. Those programs are designed to break the American worker, to tax you until you can't move anymore. That's Elizabeth Warren. Why do you think she's the front runner? And there's Bernie Sanders up there. They're competing for how much they want to tax you. And none of them can tell you, oh, and they're all going, oh, yeah, we'll do this without a tax increase. Yeah, right. You betcha, buddy. And I'm going to squeeze gold out of a turnip, too. Anyway, so it would take literally around $40 trillion to electrify the United States with three-blade wind turbines and solar panels and the required batteries. Now, let's get to the point of the wing generator, the JMCC wing generator when I designed the system, and it's called distributed energy, you can read about it in my book, the whole point of it was that I could electrify the United States with wind energy alone and no batteries. Let me repeat that just so you heard that correctly. And you go, well, how could that be? How could wind and solar, the three-blade wind turbines, why do they need batteries and your system doesn't? Well, it's because my system works. It's like a central power company of, say, coal or nuclear and or natural gas. You don't find those companies storing up large amounts of energy. They don't need batteries because they can turn on and off up to a certain level. And when you put it all together, you don't need battery storage for them to work. That's the same issue with the wing generator. It has it produces a flat line energy from low to high wind speeds, and it's not something that's variable. So when you put these around the United States, and there are ample good wind locations all over the United States, it's called distributed energy. They have taken my word, as they did with everything else that's happened, you know, the all of my work. The terms get basically, and this is bastardized, it's in other words a dysfunctional use of my term. When I described the term distributed energy, it was before anybody ever thought or dreamed or talked about distributed energy in 2009. And the whole plan was to distribute the wing generators and overpower. You would put about 150% of the energy required in terms of wing generators. And, of course, they can't do that with solar. They can't even get up to 100%. They're always less, and that's the point. Because as long as they're less, they will need the central power company. Why do the, you can just see this is the biggest rigged system of all. And we'll always be stretching for that goal of 100% renewables and never, ever getting there with three-blade wind turbines and solar. With the McCanny wing generator, we would be overpowering the country, not needing any batteries. So that brings down the cost. You don't have those highly polluting solar panels. And now here's the final catch of the three-blade wind turbines and solar panels. They only last 10 years. With the Noble Minnesota project, it didn't even last 9 years. It was, most of those turbines were probably defunct after 5 years. So you're going to pay $40 trillion for something that's not going to last 10 years. That's not a good deal. So that's a good deal for the wind energy companies that are getting a subsidy and replacing this stuff. Now, what do you do with all of this waste when it's done? Of, you know, there would be wind generators everywhere. You wouldn't be able to turn a corner without seeing a three-blade wind turbine. What do you do with all the refuge from this, the refuse, the garbage, the three-blade there's nothing they can do with these things. I mean, you could maybe take one of them and make some furniture, cut it apart or something, but decommissioning these monstrosities and also solar panels. Solar panels, they now discovered, leach the chemicals into the ground during when it rains. The chemicals that are in the solar panels leach into the ground and kill the ecosystem, starting with the bugs. So they kill off the ecosystem. They fry birds that try and fly above it. These are horrendous, horrendous because of their immense size. The comparison that I use, and I have a part of the white paper, is that a single 100-megawatt wing generator will replace 125 of the three-blade wind turbines, or 600,000, that's 600,000 solar panels, with a single wing generator that covers less than an acre of land. Now, this is the solution. This is the solution. So why do you think it has gotten zero notoriety? And why do you think the press, don't you think the American Wind Energy Association has heard of this? Of course they have. but they're doing everything they can in the controlled media to prevent you from hearing it out there. But at any rate, this is just the absurd world we live in. It's like another example is NASA in 2014 put out a special contract solicitation for a new space shuttle to try and get people up to the International Space Station, because right now, well, at least in the cost in 2014, was $70 million a person that we had to pay Russia to get people into outer space, to get them up to the International Space Station. Because the United States, after 70 years and $1 trillion going to NASA, doesn't have a rocket, doesn't have a space capsule, doesn't have a capability of getting people into low Earth orbit even. Absolutely incredible. How could there be so much incompetence at NASA? Well, that's what NASA is. It is incompetence personified. So at any rate, what I do every day for probably about 12 to 18 hours a day sometimes, including weekends, by the way, is to work on promoting and doing everything I can to move the wing generator forward, because that is the solution. It's the worldwide solution to energy. Okay, just a quick mention. We are marketing right now the small wing generators, and I'll give out the sizes. These are in kilowatts, 2, 3, 5, 10, 25, and 50. Those are the sizes in kilowatts. Also, we have the electronics for a special order for 100 and 250 kilowatt systems. And so these are available. Just want to remind people, if you know somebody with a farm or ranch or a co-op situation, that's something we're moving into now, where if you have a group of houses or a cooperative farm or something like that, we're starting to look at multiple connections where we deliver power to a cooperative, and so having the capability to do that using the wing generator. So go to the webpage, jmccsci.com. There is still the 15% sale on water filters, water filter elements, free shipping to the United States. My paid cast is there. Currently working on the 200-session course of education. And that's something that's very important. I'm very proud of what's coming out of that. That's with the paid cast. And then the email address for anybody interested in the wing generator, or if you know of investors, which the investments anywhere from $3 to $10 to $50 million. And that sounds like a lot of money, but really in energy, it's not very much money at all for somebody to be on the ground floor of the wing generator technology. So at any rate, have a good week. Once again, the webpage, jmccsci.com. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.